Confirm, Mr. Bear, the webinar has begun and I've begun the recording as well.
Okay, we are now going to start the meeting. Okay, welcome everybody to this meeting of the full council on Monday the 1st of March, St. David's Day, 2021. First of all, as always, I need to remind councillors on how the meeting will be conducted. Could I remind all councillors that in accordance with the virtual meeting protocol, they should keep their microphones on mute at all times unless I have called upon them to speak on an item. Councillors will use the raise hands function to indicate that they wish to speak. I will say their name, inviting them to speak. Once the councillor has finished speaking, they will be put back on mute, or you could mute would be preferable. Please bear in mind the need for professional behaviour throughout the meeting. For the duration of the meeting, councillors should avoid mouthing comments or making non-verbal gestures, including facial expressions, which may be interpreted as rude, disrespectful or offensive. And that is Rule 19, Councillors' Conduct. Please ensure your camera is on throughout the meeting and your head and shoulders are visible. Please ensure that no one, including pets, is present in the room with you. Please switch off all mobile phones, telephones and other devices to avoid unnecessary interruptions and background noise. These include smart speakers. If a councillor loses their internet connection, I will propose a short adjournment to allow the councillor to rejoin the meeting. For the avoidance of doubt, I will indicate at the end of a debate that I can no longer see any virtual hands in the participants list, and if anyone wishes to speak then, they should indicate so. The usual rules of debate apply at Rule 16. Each councillor may speak only once for the maximum of 10 minutes duration during the debate on at any item. The chat facility is not to be used. Voting will take place by name vote. Democratic Services, i.e. Andrea, will call out each name in alphabetical order. Each councillor should then unmute, indicate whether they are voting for, against or abstaining, and then mute themselves. I ask you all now to remain silent while our chaplain, Reverend Robin Trotter, leads us in a prayer. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the improvement in the control of the coronavirus, for the hope that brings. We give you thanks for the vaccines, the planners of the operation to immunise everyone, for all the volunteers and for the scientists who work on our behalf. We pray for those who are sick and those who care for them, both at home and in our hospitals. We pray too for those who are lonely and isolated and all those facing economic difficulties. Father, guide and direct our deliberations this evening. May our decisions be for the health, well-being and good of all. Amen. We sum these prayers up in praying for the kingdom as Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Reverend Robin. Of course, as always, you are welcome to stay, but I would totally understand if you would like to leave the meeting now.
I'm in two places at once. I shall take your kind invitation. Blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. Right, we'll refer to the agenda of the meeting. Apologies for absence, item number one. Chief Executive, are there any apologies?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There have been no apologies for absence.
Thank you. Item number two, declarations of interest. Has anyone got any? You've seen, everyone's seen the agenda, I'm sure. Are there any declarations of interest? Councillor Chowdhury, you've got your hand up. Would you like to unmute yourself, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to declare an interest in item 6 and 7, as they mentioned selective licensing and bar gates.
Okay.
I wouldn't be voting or participating in the debate, but I would like to remain in the meeting.
Okay, I'm just going to go to our, because you are declaring an interest, you obviously, yes, we're not going to let you out of the meeting, obviously, but our monitoring officer, is that okay that he can actually remain in the meeting if he's declared an interest? Sorry, Councillor Chowdhury, I just need to have that clarification on that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Councillor Chowdhury, are you able to explain a little bit more about the nature of your interest in order that we can establish whether you can be permitted to stay in the meeting?
Councillor Chowdhury, you can unmute yourself and chat with the monitoring officer.
Sorry. So I'm a selective license holder and I have a property or interest in a property in High Street, and as I will not be taking part in the debate or the vote, I see no reason why I can't remain in the meeting as a member of the public.
Monitoring officer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What you've described, Councillor Chowdhury, is a declarable pecuniary interest, and for that reason you must leave the meeting for the duration of the specific item or that part of the order of business.
Councillor Chowdhury, I take it you understood that?
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
Thank you. So if you can, when it comes up, if you can just raise your hand and I, Democratic Services will limit you from the meeting for that period. Councillor Goodfellow, Leader, you have your hand up as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have an interest of the same nature through close family members who own property within the selective licensing area. Perhaps the monitoring officer could just confirm whether I should absent myself from that portion of the deputy leader's statement.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor Goodfellow, just for that particular element of the item in the same way as Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, I'm monitoring officer. So Councillor Goodfellow, when that item comes up, if you would please, again, as I've said to Councillor Chowdhury, let me know, and Democratic Services will meet you from that part of the meeting. Thank you. About declarations of interest. So item number three, to approve the minutes of the council meeting held on the 22nd of Feb 2021. I'm going to propose that we accept the meeting, the minutes. Could I have a seconder, please? I've got Councillor Sylvester. Thank you. So can we go to the vote, please? Democratic Services, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Aykroyd?
Four.
Councillor Allen?
Four.
Councillor Ashcroft?
Four.
Councillor Barker?
Four.
Councillor Beach?
Four.
Councillor Brady?
Four.
Councillor Bilth?
Four.
Councillor Chowdhury?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Faulkner?
Four.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Four.
Councillor Fletcher?
Four.
Councillor Florence Jukes?
Four.
Councillor Gaskin?
Four.
Councillor Goodfellow?
Councillor Goodfellow, would you like to unmute yourself, please? Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm having trouble with my internet connection. Four.
Thank you. Councillor Gould?
Four.
Councillor Grosvenor?
Four.
Councillor Greg Hall?
Four.
Councillor Helen Hall?
Four.
Councillor Hudson?
Four.
Councillor Hussein?
Four.
Councillor Jones?
Four.
Councillor Killoran?
Four.
Councillor Lamb?
Four.
Councillor McGarry? Oh, sorry, Councillor Legg, sorry. Apologies.
Four.
Councillor McGarry?
Four.
Councillor McKiernan?
Four.
Councillor Metcalf?
Four.
Councillor Peters?
Four.
Councillor Raybould?
Four.
Councillor Sankey?
Four.
Councillor Shrive?
Four.
Councillor Sylvester?
Four.
Councillor Toon?
Four.
Councillor Walker?
Four.
Councillor Whittaker?
Four.
And Councillor Wildman?
Four.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That vote is carried.
Thank you. Okay, we will now move to item number four. Announcements from myself as mayor, leader or proper officer. I have one announcement to make. Very sad news, unfortunately, to give you all. Former mayor and alderman Tom Dawn and his lady mayoress Pauline have both recently passed away. Tom was mayor on two occasions, 1998 to 1999 and 2003 to 2004, and I'm sure you will join myself wishing his family and giving our condolences. Thank you. Item number five, urgent business. I have ruled that there is no urgent business, we'll move on. Item number six, which is leader and deputy leader's statements. I'm going to invite the leader and deputy leaders to present their reports, and they are to be received and noted, but of course all councillors. Councillor Chowdhury, I can see your hand up, so.
Yeah, so Mr. Mayor, as I declared an interesting item 6 and 7,
Yep.
So would I leave item 6 now and be let back in for item 7 and leave again? Or is that me and the leader both are going to leave now?
Well, obviously
those two items.
I was just going to say the leader is going to actually present the first item. So on the list, monitoring officer, can you just clarify on that, please?
And the second item, more importantly.
Thank you, Councillor Chowdhury.
My advice at the beginning of the meeting was that Councillors Goodfellow and Chowdhury should leave for the narrowly specific portion of the individual deputy leader statement, and then, if possible, for the individual part of the corporate plan.
Thank you, Monitoring Officer. Councillor Fletcher, you've got something to say.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going back to your announcement there was no urgent business. By that, do you mean you said you ruled that there was no urgent business?
There is no valid urgent business, Councillor.
So there was business, but you ruled it invalid.
The Mayor's decision is final, as you know.
Well, I know that, but it would be nice to get an explanation as to why.
I don't need to give you an explanation. There is no valid urgent business. I mean, that really should say it all, really.
How can we judge whether you've made a right decision if you don't?
I have made the decision, you know, with
this. Democratic?
Democratic is. The fact is, I have made the decision. You know, I don't do this lightly. I have taken advice. And
you run the meeting.
Fletcher, look, we've moved on, you know, so please, we need to move on.
It will be remembered, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
That's okay, Councillor Fletcher. Thank you.
Disappointed.
Okay. So item number 6. As I say, we are going to get the members' reports. So firstly, Leader of the Council to present his report. Thank you, Councillor Goodfellow.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I would just warn that my internet connection is slightly unstable, so please bear with me if I have a problem, and if you could indicate if you couldn't hear me at any point.
Can I just stop you? Sorry, Leader. Councillor Grosvenor, you have a point of order. I believe you're clearly going to make one.
Yeah, I do have a point of order, Mr. Mayor. As Leader of the Council has declared an interest in parts of the corporate plan, can I understand what part he took in the debate as late to the corporate plan being agreed to come to council tonight?
Councillor Goodfellow, would you want to answer that, or would you prefer the monitoring officer to help you with that? It's entirely up to yourself.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think I need any help. I declared interest at appropriate points in the debate and removed myself from the appropriate meetings as would be correct and proper to do so.
Okay, then carry on then, Leader, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's fair to say that last year has been like no other. There's been massive upheaval to all our lives and massive strains, more importantly, on our residents and our businesses. When we set our corporate plan this time last year, it was as the country would shortly be going into the first lockdown. And as a council, we had to quickly adapt and work more smartly to ensure that our services were safely delivered. And I'm extremely pleased that we've managed to keep the vast majority of our critical services operating throughout the year, despite the many challenges that the pandemic threw up. Before I go on to talk in a bit more detail about the outcomes specifically, I would like to stop and pay tribute to the whole council team, to our officers, our employees, our members who worked phenomenally hard over the past 12 months in making all of that possible. Our waste collection teams who've been out on the front line the whole year ensuring that our residents' waste is collected. To our housing teams who've quickly mobilised to get rough sleepers into safe accommodation, our staff who've worked as COVID marshals, our revenues team for swiftly administering government support to residents and businesses. I could go on, the effort and dedication of everybody has been absolutely humbling. And lastly, I would like to particularly thank those members of the team who have suffered personal losses during this time, and those individuals have stepped up and carried on despite this. So I just wanted to place on record my sincere thanks to them for that. So thank you to everybody who's made this happen, and I know that everybody will continue to show hard work and dedication as we face the challenges ahead. On the subject of thanks, I'd also like to thank the opposition shadow portfolio holders for joining us at the early stages of the budget and plan setting process to feed in any ideas. So I'd like to thank Councillor Fitzpatrick, Councillor McKeon and Councillor Chowdhury and Councillor Bilf for their participation and input as we began developing our plans for this coming year. So turning back for a moment to some specifics over the past year, which I've drawn out of the reports that have been circulated to you from my portfolio area, I accept they're not necessarily the most exciting compared to some of the other things you'll hear about this evening. However, they are important in their own right. So I'm pleased that we continue to improve financial resilience within the council, ensuring compliance with HMRC's VAT digitalisation requirements and starting a review of compliance against the SIPF Financial Management Code of Practice. I was very pleased that we managed to deliver an annual saving to the council's budget of just under £50,000 through our insurance procurement exercise. And despite the added complexities relating to the pandemic, we met the ever-challenging deadlines for the preparation and audit of the council's statement, accounts, statement of accounts. And although 55% of other councils didn't, we were still able to meet the revised statutory deadline. We also achieved unqualified opinions from our auditors on the statement of accounts and on our ability to secure value for money, which is obviously critically important at a time like this. So we've transformed the council's procurement strategy into a procurement policy, which identifies responsibilities, preferred approaches, and where and when to seek professional advice. This is an important step and encompasses both supporting local suppliers and businesses, whilst also paying due regard to our obligations around climate change and biodiversity. We also undertook a review of the available rest centre locations for use in the event of a major incident, and played a key role in the countrywide local resilience forum, particularly with the impacts from the February 2020 floods, the implications around Brexit, and obviously the COVID-19 strategic coordinating group activities. We've monitored response and recovery at a cabinet level through the regular COVID-19 reports and have taken action accordingly, and I am the representative at county level on the local virus outbreak control board. We've continued to build on our successful digital achievements with input from a proactive member working group. The digital strategy was refreshed, and the three distinct themes of digital council, digital services, and digital enablement, which maintains a focus on the delivery of value for money services. We ensured that our services were secure, meeting the requirements of the government's public services network, and we commenced the rollout of our hardware refresh. We also started to provide strategic support to OB and Wigston Borough Council in order to assist them to develop a new ICT strategy and a new ICT operational management approach, which will provide a future income stream to ESBC and support the revenue budget. We will continue to look for other opportunities such as this one. So in terms of looking forward within my portfolio area, we will continue to embrace digital opportunities and start to implement a number of activities from the strategy, including a process for reviewing digital services, which will begin by identifying an intended outcome, designing a process, and considering the technology that's most suitable to deliver that outcome. I'm absolutely committed to improving our digital services for our residents. We'll ensure that our services remain secure and carry out any cyber essential changes to the PSN within required timescales, and we'll complete the desktop hardware renewal, as well as carry out a number of server renewals, as well as undertaking a review of cloud services to see where and if cost savings, security improvements, or further efficiencies can be gained from a remote hosting. The response to the challenges of the past 12 months has highlighted how effective good communications can be. And this year we will review our PR and communications approach in order to develop a new communications strategy. Early into the new year, we will implement a new corporate e-newsletter to improve communication with our stakeholders and residents, which will be complemented by a regular leaders blog and a targeted video update from a cabinet member to share relevant and important messages, at the same time challenging misinformation or misconceptions. We will continue to improve the council's resilience in response to emergencies and build on the experience we've gained from the Storm Dennis flooding and obviously from the COVID-19 pandemic. We will complete a review of our emergency and business continuity planning approach, incorporating any learning from the recent response and recovery. We will look for opportunities for improvement across our committee structure to bring better engagement and scrutiny. This may include considering committee sizes and functions, the effectiveness of our scrutiny and overview approach for any further relevant digital opportunities. Subject to the restrictions being lifted, we will again look to work with the local government association to deliver a peer review to another council to build up to hosting one in East Staffordshire this coming year. We will continue to proactively improve financial management activities within the council, making sure that proper arrangements are in place to ensure continued value for money and financial resilience. We will proactively monitor the financial impact of COVID-19 and any associated government support, completing all the necessary government returns. And finally, we will set the MTFS for 22-23 in line with the new funding arrangements and meet the deadlines for the preparation, audit and approval of the Council's statement of accounts. Lastly, now that we've been given the go-ahead, we will deliver on the necessary by-elections in the Borough, Police, Fire and Crime Commissioner elections, the County Council elections for Staffordshire and the Rolleston on Dove neighbourhood plan, all in a COVID-secure manner. Furthermore, this is a first for the council, as we will, via the Chief Executive as returning officer, also be taking on the police area returning officer responsibilities for the Police, Fire and Crime Commissioner election, which means that we are not only responsible for administering and returning our local count, the council has the added responsibility for the administration and returning of the whole county-wide election. In summary, Mr. Mayor, I believe that these plans are a sensible and proportional set of activities, ensuring that we continue to move the council forwards, whilst also having the necessary bandwidth to deal with COVID-related issues over the coming year.
Okay, you've just heard the leader's report. Would anyone like to ask questions to the leader? I can't see any hands up. Councillor Grosvenor, would you like to unmute yourself and ask that question, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, can I just say how pleasing it is to hear the leader congratulate members of the opposition who've taken part in the budget setting and corporate plan setting process over the last year. It's a stark contrast to the comments made by Councillor Allen last week, which brought into question what is the point of the opposition members. So thankful that the leader this tonight has praised opposition members for their part in the budget setting and the corporate plan. In terms of the targets that he set for next year in his portfolio, there are 24 targets, of which 19 would be classed as business as usual. So unfortunately, there's only 5 effectively new targets in the corporate plan for next year, which tends to highlight the point that I made last week, that this is a council drifting with no new ideas and nothing forward to improve the council services or the council's finances drastically at all. I would say it is disappointing that he's mentioned the COVID situation, that he's not sought to introduce a district level COVID recovery committee, as I've suggested, that could deal with local issues quickly, could deal with handing out funding and listen to members that have got specific concerns on the ground with regards to issues in their ward that are affecting COVID transmission. The leader has not taken up this option, and it's very disappointing that he's not done that. The option remains for him to do that and to bring in voluntary groups and other organisations locally to sit on a local COVID recovery board. He will say he sits on a regional one, but I think there needs to be a local one which would deal with some of those issues, and I've made this point, but he's obviously ignored it. I refer to the peer review. Isn't it true that the peer review that he wants to bring into this council is just an easy way of making and enabling a program of work for this council to enable him or perhaps his successor to carry out the program activities, because they've got no ideas themselves, and it would take an outside organisation to come in and to say what needs to be done at this council in terms of improving it or moving forward, what needs to be done on X, Y, Z, and all it will do is give him or his successor a programme of work to work to.
Okay, Councillor Grosvenor. Would anyone else like to ask a question of the leader? Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for the report, Councillor Goodfellow. I would say, though, as has been the case for the past few years, it's a late report. Only arrived the middle of last week. The hard copies of my report only arrived at 2:30 this afternoon, and I rely on those hard copies. So I would ask why, when that annual reports, it takes so long to get them out to members. However, firstly, I'd like to talk about Target L17, the review of the council committees. I await with interest your review on these, particularly as council records show that in June 2017, you voted against a reduction in the previous scrutiny groups from the previous four groups down to two. I've even got a copy of your original arguments. I would hope that you're not looking to reverse that change by creating yet more scrutiny groups, which will require, quite obviously, additional chairs at £3,583 each to the taxpayer. So I would hope that you would guard against introducing yet more scrutiny committee, because that is only going to benefit your group by creating roles for the boys and for the girls. In line with your commitment in the corporate plan for value for money, I'm interested to know why you have not included in your committee review a review of the benefit or value for money of the two cabinet support members that you, the roles that you created. The support members have been in post sufficiently long now to review the value to this local authority. They're costing the taxpayers an additional £8,156 on top of their basic allowance. I know that's jointly. Yet we've heard nothing from them. We've had no reports, no verbal updates, nothing. It's almost as if they've faded into obscurity. There's no accountability. As you very often comment on benchmarking with other authorities, if you can answer, please, what other authorities have cabinet support members? Staffordshire County Council have done away with their support members because of the cost. Shouldn't you be looking to do the same? So perhaps you can answer that, please, because that's an easy save to the budget. I would like to talk about your leadership and the permanency of it, if I may. You've introduced what I would call a disastrous budget last week. I voted against that. Again, this week, you've come to council with measures and targets for 2021 into 2022. What I'd like to know is it your intention to remain as leader to this council after the annual meeting of this council in May? Because that's quite crucial to know. I understand you'll have your group annual meeting before May, where the continuation of your leadership will be voted on, and it's highly unlikely, I would have thought, in view of the great outpouring of support you received last week, that you'll receive a vote no confidence, so that only leaves you to resign. So do you intend to resign as leader, Councillor Goodfellow? That's my point, because if you are doing, that's got a marked effect on all the measures that you're trying to introduce, because basically you're not going to be there to oversee them, you're not going to be there to implement them. And I think we should know that. So being honest and transparent with this council, I'd like an answer to that, please. Otherwise, you're doing, in effect, a hit and run. You're introducing all these measures that you're not going to be there to implement. So they're my three questions for now. So perhaps you can answer those. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to ask a question before I invite the leader to? Councillor Hudson, thank you.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to ask a question, Mr. Mayor, but I would like to clarify something for Councillor Florence Jukes, that at our last scrutiny committee meeting, it was asked by a member, would we like to look at the support cabinet member role, and at this time, it was voted against. I'm not saying that we won't look at it in the future, Councillor Francis Dukes, but it was asked, the question was asked, and the vote was not to at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hudson. Would anyone else like to ask a question of the leader? Okay, I can't see anyone's hand up, so I'm going to ask the leader now to answer those questions, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, members, for the questions. So on each of those points in turn, I believe Councillor Grosvenor mentioned targets and a balance of business as usual and transformational type targets. I'd have to double check the targets. I suspect he and I wouldn't necessarily agree on the numbers that he's indicated. What I would say, though, and perhaps he wasn't listening at the end of my speech, was that I believe that the corporate plan targets are an appropriate balance. We are a council here to deliver day-to-day services, and those are important to our residents. So it's not for us simply to sit back, not monitor what's going on day-to-day and focus on making continual change. We are here to support our residents. So the corporate plan targets across my portfolio and I believe across all of the other portfolios have a balance to them, ensuring that, as I said at the conclusion of my statement, there is enough in terms of challenge, but also enough in terms of ordinary day-to-day activity and also bandwidth to continue to operate in the challenging circumstances that we currently find ourselves in. The COVID Recovery Committee, absolutely, Councillor Grosvenor is quite right, I do sit on various county-wide groups in relation to this. The council has a borough-wide COVID recovery committee. It's called the Cabinet. On peer review, we are one of a tiny handful of councils that have not been through the Local Government Association peer review process. I don't know why. Under his leadership, Councillor Grosvenor didn't take part in a peer review process. Clearly, it's always good to have what you're doing reviewed by others. Clearly, it's good to take advice, to take views, to take expertise and learnings from elsewhere. So I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to do that. I certainly do. Turning to the report, the corporate plan targets obviously reflect what is in the medium-term financial strategy. So clearly it is necessary to determine the medium-term financial strategy before issuing these reports. And clearly we did that last Monday and these reports were issued shortly afterwards. In terms of the review of the council's committees, it is a review of the effectiveness of the committees and the committee structure. It is a review to assess effectiveness. It's a review to consider whether things may be done better. So I don't want to preempt a review other than it will be a thorough and effective review. I'm afraid I find Councillor Florence Jukes' comments regarding the Cabinet support members as a little bit disrespectful, I'm afraid. The Cabinet support members have worked incredibly hard over recent months, particularly as a result of the pandemic. They are always very diligent in their work and their commitment and their contribution, whilst it may not be obvious in a full council meeting such as this. They are in a meeting every single week with me. And I would like to thank Councillor McGarry and Councillor Metcalf for their hard work, and indeed Councillor Ashcroft whilst you are the Cabinet support member. The Cabinet support member role, there was some talk of allowances mentioned there, but actually the structure and cost of my cabinet and support member roles is actually lower than the previous cabinet. So I'm undertaking the same amount of work and the same job at a lower cost. So if you've got a problem with that, then I'm afraid that's just going to have to be something I'm going to have to bear. And in terms of my staying on as leader of the council, I believe everybody voted for me for a period of 4 years to be leader of this council. So unless my group no longer wants me as leader, I shall be here as leader. So until such times as people don't want me, I don't intend to resign. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, leader. Thank you very much. And just to remind everyone, his report is to be noted. And thank you for your questions, by the way, everyone. Okay, we'll move to the second item now on this section. So I'll invite Councillor Peters to present his report on community and regulatory services.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll assume that members will have read and taken note of my report. And I would like to take this opportunity and place on record...
Councillor, can I just stop you there? Councillor Grosvenor and Councillor Goodfellow have got their hands up. And would you like to leave Councillor Goodfellow for a second? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And Councillor Chowdhury, you can... Yeah, please. Democratic Services, can you sort that for me, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just bear with me and I'll just put Councillor Goodfellow and Councillor Chowdhury on hold.
Thank you.
Just bear with me and I'll confirm when I've done that, if that's all right.
Yes, please. Councillor Peters.
So, Mr. Mayor, just to confirm, Councillors Chowdhury and Goodfellow are now on hold. So they can't view and hear the meeting at the moment.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Councillor Peters, would you like to carry on, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll start again. Members will have read and taken note of my report, and I would specifically like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to and thank my officer team, who have worked tirelessly and very hard and supported me totally through these very difficult and unprecedented times. With your agreement, Mr. Mayor, I would like to make specific comments as follows. You will see from my report and progress on achievements that I have made during this year, 2020 to 2021. My objectives and corporate plan targets for next year, 21-22, clearly set out and identify community support whilst operating within a regulatory framework during these unprecedented times. Specifically, Mr. Mayor, climate change is very high on my agenda, as the impact on the planet and communities is now being recognised across the UK and the world. Members will be aware East Staffordshire Borough Council's Climate Change Action Plan sets out a structured approach as we set off on our journey towards becoming carbon neutral. Mr. Mayor, following a CCTV scrutiny review in 2020 into deployment of CCTV across the borough, I have set out and called for an independent survey to be undertaken to establish the effectiveness of the current CCTV equipment. CCTV provides us with options to reassure the community that we will work tirelessly to deter unscrupulous groups and individuals from disrupting life in East Staffordshire. Mr. Mayor, I think it is important that I mention 21-22 marks the 30th anniversary of the Brewhouse. It is a venue that has served the town well and I know it is valued by many. And my report sets out a series of events and activities to celebrate this anniversary, mindful of COVID-19 restrictions. At that point, Mr. Mayor, I'll be happy to take any questions on my report.
Thank you, Councillor Peters. So I have Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Peters. That was a thorough and comprehensive report this evening. However, I would just like to mention something that isn't mentioned in your statement, and that's to do with the new initiative of the pavement licensing that came out on the 22nd of July 2020. Obviously, businesses like cafes and bars could apply for a pavement license to extend their premises, extend their businesses outside of their premises. However, since this licence was produced, we've seen two further lockdowns, and therefore these type of businesses have needed to close their doors during what could only have been their busiest periods. As the Deputy Leader is aware, businesses with this licence can start to recoup and take full advantage of reopening their doors from the 12th of April and be seated outside utilising as much space as possible. However, this will not include those businesses without this licence, and we could therefore see an influx of businesses wanting to apply for a pavement licence. But we must not forget that this initiative comes to an end on the 30th of September 2021. Therefore, as the licensing authority for the borough, could the Deputy Leader commit to looking at this initiative in more detail, especially as we get ever closer to the deadline date, with the possibility of either extending this date to include Christmas 21 and New Year 22 in order that businesses can gain revenue lost during 2020-21, or better still, the ESBC take over this licence initiative permanently. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor McGarry. Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, just as per my analysis of the Leader's statement, I'll just say that Councillor Peters has 20 targets for next year, of which 9 are business as usual. Of the remaining 11, 8, I would say, are targets just to do a report or report into aspects of the service or a review, which leaves 3 new ideas or 3 new targets for the next year. Although one of those is actually a suggestion that's had its idea 10 years ago, which is the Parish Councils Forum. So that's hardly new as well. I also say I'm very disappointed the Deputy Leader has not included within his plan a target to review dog control orders. He will know, as I've communicated with him, that there are specific concerns with regards to dogs off leads and defecating in Stapen Hill Cemetery, to which there is a petition, which currently, one of 4 petitions against this council, currently has 1,100 signatures in it to try and get the council to review the dog control order specifically in the cemetery to ban dogs from walking there and only allow them if they are guide dogs or dogs that are requested an appointment by their owners to attend a specific funeral. This is an operation currently in Uttoxeter Cemetery, which is run by Uttoxeter Town Council. They operate those exact same rules, and all I'm asking for is for the Deputy Leader within his corporate plan to review the dog control order specifically around Stapen Hill Cemetery to try and level out the same dog control orders that are in place in Uttoxeter so that we have them in Burton. If it's good enough for Uttoxeter, it's good enough for Burton. It's very disappointing that the Deputy Leader has not included this following the communications I had with him on this topic.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of questions, please, on community and civil enforcement targets CRS 10 and 16. You mentioned about educating residents on issues relating to the main issues reported, i.e. fly tipping, dog fouling and littering, etc. This is a reoccurring problem. I'm just wondering what you mean by educating residents. How do you plan to do that? So the first question is how you plan to do that. The second one involves CRS02, the selective licensing. I would have thought now, after the pilot and then we're into the fourth year, why isn't this being rolled out borough-wide? Why is it still only in selective areas. I would have thought that all tenants deserve the protections that this initiative gives them. So why are you not looking to roll it out borough-wide? That's my second question. And then thirdly, you've said on a number of occasions that climate change is at the top of the tree. It's your number one priority. And yet there's absolutely zero in your report about it. Yes, you mentioned that in a year's time you're going to have a review of the measures that have been set. But for saying that this is your number one target, where's your initiatives about it? What are your aims? What are your goals? So perhaps you can give us a little bit more about that. How, if it's your number one priority and it's the council's main priority, then where is it? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Jukes. Who have I got next? Councillor Gaskin, you were first, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to thank the Deputy Leader for your comprehensive report and for all the hard work you and the officers have put in to its delivery. I would like to ask, going forward, going on with the payment licences that have been granted during the COVID period that are to expire in September, as was referred to by... I would like to see these, if they could be extended, and if you could see what you could do to lobby either the MP and make sure that these are going forward made to continue. It would have them extended in it for a further year in lockdown and help these businesses to recoup some of their lost earnings, and give them more scope and space to trade during their period to encourage people back to their venues. It would also assist in making our towns and villages appear more friendly and welcoming, not only to visitors and tourists, but also to local residents as well. I do ask if you could try and pursue this for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, can I thank all the staff involved out there on the streets, because they do a sterling job, and quite clearly they're extremely under-resourced. But Vernon Terrace is in my ward, and it's been cleared of fly tipping 40 times since 2016, according to the council's own figures from August last year. There's been further incidents this year, and it's just been cleared again. There is one way in of Vernon Terrace and one way out, where the residents have to go through the fly tipping to get through to terraced houses at the back, and then they can only call when they need to get out, they have to come back past it. And I don't know whether councillors know, but that area has been hit hard with COVID. In addition, the easing of the COVID restrictions has prompted obvious concerns from residents around Shovnell Fields that they will see a repeat of last spring and summer, with large gatherings in the evening and people using drug paraphernalia. It is something that his group has failed to get a grip of. And in 2019, the Tory group, pledged to tackle fly tipping by enforcement. Given that fly tipping still remains high in the wards like mine, and Councillor Sain and Councillor Chowdhury, will the Deputy Leader accept that this was an unacceptable promise?
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Would anyone else like to ask the Deputy Leader a question? And if not, Councillor Peters, would you like to answer those questions, please?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Mayor. I'll try and take them in the order that they were presented to me. I'm concerned by some of the questions in terms of, have people read the correspondence that's been presented to them prior to the meeting? But the first question from Councillor McGarry, which I think was duplicated by Councillor Gaskin, I don't know why he decided to do that. He is the chair of licensing. I would have expected him to have worked with Councillor McGarry before presenting that question. But this matter is for central government to decide, and officers will work through whatever decision is made by central government, should it happen, post-September. So we aren't going to look into a crystal ball and make a decision at the moment, because we're focused on everyday work and the capabilities that we have to deliver against our corporate plan targets. So let's wait and see what happens in September, and we'll take that forward as and when necessary. Councillor Grosvenor was specifically talking about dogfouling in the cemetery. Well, he will know as well as I do, and he makes reference to the conversations that we had, where I told him that public space protection orders are due for renewal following public consultation in 2022. Nothing will change in the immediate future. We expect people to behave responsibly. We do have enforcement officers present if necessary, but we want to rely on the public to be sensible. So the question about public space protection orders, there is no intention of doing anything with those prior to the renewal date in 2022. And I think PSPOs, I don't think they have them in Uttoxeter, so I can't draw any comparison with Uttoxeter's cemetery at all. In terms of selective licensing, the next phase, which was to deliver not street by street, but district by district, was something that was being planned, and we were going to have a meeting, ideally at the town hall, with responsible landlords. Now, the pandemic put that off, and we haven't yet been able to set a date to relaunch that. But we can provide specific information in terms of which wards we will take the work on, into in a few weeks' time if it's still required. But selective licensing has to be targeted. And where we know there's a problem, we will step out and deal with it. The points that Councillor Florence Jukes made about climate change. The Climate Change Action Plan, which was approved by full council last year, sets out a step-by-step approach. If I thought I had 4 hours to talk tonight and I only have 10 minutes, I could have spelt the individual step-by-step approach that we will be taking. But as I said, I hope members will have taken note of the papers that have been provided, and the action plan clearly identified the way ahead. So I can't give her any more assurances than that at the moment, only that we have a dedicated workforce who will adopt that step-by-step approach starting next financial year. Vernon Terrace, Councillor Walker, has made several representations to the head of service and myself about Vernon Terrace. Fly tipping and dog fouling is something that I am very, very concerned about, but it's not unique to East Staffordshire. People who take an interest in local politics will know this problem is across the UK. And what we need is intelligence. We need to gather intelligence from people. I know in Vernon Terrace, it's like a tower block in London. There are a lot of people who can look down into Vernon Terrace and see the people who are doing this. But will they come forward with the information? To date, no, they won't. And I have asked Councillor Walker on several occasions. He mentioned Shobnal. He is the ward councillor. He has colleagues who are ward councillors in Shobnal. He has a link with the parish council. Why can't they take a bit of ownership in trying to deter this unacceptable habit of fly tipping? So, yes, we remain focused on addressing it, but knowing where the hot spots are doesn't really help. But what I am minded to do is think about the introduction of some form of CCTV in that particular point, because I do accept the point that he makes that for some unknown reason it's a favourite place to fly tip. So I'll take advice during the next few weeks and make a decision as to whether we can put some sort of camera in there. But I want members to be assured again and be aware that it's not a case of just turning up with a CCTV camera and strapping it to a lamppost. We have a series of signage that must be up. People need to know that there's CCTV there. So it isn't a simple task that can be undertaken overnight. I hope that's covered all the questions, Mr. Mayor, but I'm happy to add any clarification. The content may not have satisfied one or two of our colleagues. I can see Councillor Florence Duke shaking her head, but I feel she will never be satisfied with any response from the controlling group. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Peters. Councillor Florence Duke, I would suggest you've asked the question. I think Councillor Peters has tried to answer to the best of his ability. May I suggest, if there is another question, perhaps you could email him.
Mayor. He didn't answer all the questions. I asked specifically about the education programme that he was proposing. I asked for details on that and he hasn't answered that. So perhaps you could answer that. And in terms of, I would ask you to retract that remark about me never being satisfied with anything to do with the controlling group. That's just rude. And I'd ask you to call into order on that, please, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Florence Jukes. Councillor Peters, you know, I'm not going to call you to order, but you've just heard what Councillor Florence Jukes said. So would you like to answer that, please?
At this moment in time, I don't think an apology is appropriate. I've expressed a view, my own opinion. I've sat in on many meetings where Councillor Florence Jukes has been challenging in her questions, and we need to be on our toes to answer them. And on occasion, we've had to work particularly hard to do it. And I know I work hard to do it, and I've suggested to her that she reads the Climate Change Action Plan and she understands it and recognises what that step-by-step approach will be. I think the point that I didn't answer, and I do apologise for that, was educate and inform. Now, again, educate and inform. I must admit, sometimes I feel uncomfortable with that, talking to responsible grown-up adults about educating and informing them. But where we provide leaflets and signage and all sorts of correspondence on our messages on our webpage to help inform people, it seems with fly tipping and dog fouling that no one takes any notice of it. But we will be resilient in our approach to this. We're going to have to start delivering more leaflets. And once the pandemic restrictions are lifted, we can perhaps have some more focused contact. But it's got to be through the web page, our media platforms and littering. And our enforcement teams, spend hours walking across the district. And if they see people with dogs, they will approach a person with a dog and obviously challenge them as to whether they've got the black bags with them. But they give them an insight into what it's all about and why we're being so focused on this. Most people, and I will describe them as, responsible dog owners, are very, very keen to listen and hear what we have to say and are very, very impressed with the approach that we adopt. So we know that the public are with us on this policy and we will continue with it.
Thank you, Councillor Peters. Again, report is to be noted. Thank you. So I'm going to invite the Councillor Faulkner.
I do apologise, Mr. Mayor. I'll bring in Councillor Chowdhury and Councillor Goodfellow back into the meeting.
Yes, you may, of course.
They should be joining us shortly.
Yeah.
Okay, they're back in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you very much for that. So, again, I'm going to invite Councillor Faulkner, Deputy Leader for Environment and Housing, to present his report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I commence my report, I'd like to reiterate the Leader's comments in relation to the members of the Waste Management Team, the whole team, not just the guys out on the trucks picking up the waste and collecting it, but also the supervisors and management, because very often those supervisors and managers were out there with the teams during the pandemic when we had at least 22 people missing from a team of 39 it was all hands to the pump, and I recognised the hard work and effort of everyone within that team. Similarly with the housing options team, an incredible result in terms of the zero count on homeless during the pandemic.
Councillor Faulkner, can I just stop you there 1 second? Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, I just wondered if Councillor Faulkner could either sit closer to his microphone or speak up, because the volume isn't that high. It's not, you know, I'm having difficulty hearing some of the things he's saying.
Thank you, Councillor. I do take that point, actually, Councillor Faulkner. If you could sort of either, you know, make yourself a little bit louder. I apologise for that, but I do take that point, Councillor Grosvenor. Thank you.
Okay. Is that any better?
Much better. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Do you want me to start again from the beginning?
Yes, please. I think you should, yes.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'd like to reiterate the leader's comments in relation to the waste management team, not just the loaders and the drivers, but also the managers and supervisors. During the COVID pandemic, during April, May, we actually had times when there were 22 members missing from that team out of a team of 39, and the managers and supervisors went out on with the trucks to actually make sure that our services continued. In terms of our housing options team, the magnificent work that Brett and his team did in relation to homelessness and getting zero homeless on the within East Staffordshire during the pandemic and again in November 2020 was a credit to a wonderful effort from that whole team. And in relation to our revenues, benefits and customer contacts, I'll mention again when I get to that section in my report. But in the environment section, whilst there has been a considerable amount of additional refuse to deal with, there's been significant progress regarding the smarter waste and street cleaning initiatives, a small management reorganisation, and progress on the implementation of the Bartek street cleaning module. We concluded the procurement for the replacement of our refuse collection and street cleaning vehicles, and as part of that exercise, we included some electric vehicles, enabling us to meet some of the climate change initiatives ahead of time. We also started work on the dry recycling and garden waste contracts. In the housing options section, we made significant progress in tackling roof sleeping, successfully implementing the Everyone In programme, in conjunction with the Housing First project, the Navigator service, and the New Home For Me project. These all enabled the borough to continue the impressive reduction in rough sleeping, which provided a figure of zero rough sleepers again at the annual count in 2020. We have continued to proactively improve our service through a series of initiatives such as maximising the utilisation of self-contained temporary accommodation for homeless applicants and reducing the void turnaround to an average of 6 working days. We also ensured the average time from appointment to initial decision for homeless applicants was below the 3-day target. We reviewed our housing strategy, and I have requested this is subject to an annual review. We worked with Trent and Dove to ensure the East Staffordshire Housing Register is accessible online and made progress on the Empty Homes project. In revenues, benefits and customer contacts, we have continued to deliver excellent services, responding to the pandemic and quickly having to respond to administering an unimaginable number of different grants and reliefs from 3 different government departments. These are detailed in the statement, and Council will be aware that they receive an update on these in the weekly members' briefing. But just to tell you, today I had figures. We have actually allocated £52,754,000 in terms of grants to businesses and residents in East Staffordshire, contrary to some of the comments made by Mr. Grosvenor earlier. Councillor Grosvenor earlier. In this, there were over 12,000 applicants, 12,000 applications for grants that these customer services team actually encountered and delivered along with their other duties. And when you consider that some of those, at least 2,000 of those, were applications that were turned down, and these generally took longer than applications that were granted because of the contact with the individuals and companies concerned trying to establish whether the decision was correct or not, there was an enormous amount of work that this team carried out, and I'd like to pay tribute to all of our customer services team in terms of this magnificent outturn. Looking forward to the year ahead, in the environment section we will continue to identify the most effective way to deliver services and continue to progress the potential for a shared service complementing the activity with a revised project plan and regular project updates. We will initiate a new recycling communication campaign, embark on a series of regular communication education campaigns in order to improve the quality and quantity of recycling collected throughout the borough. We will realise the benefits from the implementation of the street cleaning software whilst developing a new policy with new procedures for how we organise resources around litter collection, bins and street cleaning. There will be a number of very important procurement exercises which include a new contract for the treatment of garden waste, a collaborative procurement exercise to provide a new contract for the processing of the dry recycling material. Additionally, to support the dry recycling processing, we will require a new waste transfer station contract. In housing options, we will review our housing strategy, refreshing the housing allocations policy to facilitate improvements in the delivery of the housing register service. We will continue to support enforcement activity where appropriate in respect of targeted empty homes. We will initiate a project which maximises our use of Section 106 commuted sums to improve the pathways out of supported accommodation, as well as exploring what opportunities there are to secure social landlord registration for voluntary sector supported accommodation providers. We will also maintain, excuse me, my link has dropped out. We will also maintain optimal utilisation of self-contained temporary accommodation for homeless applicants, as well as proactively engage with the Rough Sleeper Initiative to maximise the available interventions. In revenues, benefits and customer contacts, we will continue to deliver excellent services, maximising income through collection rates, reducing former years' arrears and continuing to increase the collection of overpaid housing benefit. We will, of course, continue to administer the numerous grants and reliefs provided from government. Whilst this is ongoing, we will undertake a comprehensive review of the local council tax reduction scheme to identify any fundamental necessary changes which could improve the scheme. We will implement the new recovery and write-off policy changes, and we will also support the corporate digital strategy through the evaluation of automation within the revenues and benefits IT systems. And we'll also carry out a review of the operations of our customer service centres. A list of targets associated with these initiatives are detailed further in the statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Before I just take a question from Councillor Grosvenor, Councillor Raybould, may I just draw your attention to the protocol? Please make sure that there's no one else in the room while you're there. Apologies, I didn't see someone, so just please be aware of that. Okay, Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not entirely sure what Councillor Faulkner's reference to me was in that, but never mind, I shall move on. Councillor Faulkner, in your report for corporate plan this evening, you have 30 targets for next year. One of the targets in your plan is actually referencing June 2022, so I'm going to exclude that from the scope of the 30 that you've got for next year. You have 30 targets over the next 12 months, of which 10 have targets not yet agreed. And of the remaining 20, 12, I would say, are normal or business as usual. And of the remaining 8, 5 are to produce a review or to report into service, which leaves 3 new targets. And of those 3, I think one of those is actually to report against government consultation. So not much there at all. Disappointed that there is no specific, and I'll just remind you, Councillor Faulkner, again, that this is now the start of your third year with responsibility for this portfolio and with Cabinet responsibility for setting the budget and for setting the corporate plan. This is the start of your third year. It's very disappointing that there isn't a specific reference to a manifesto commitment to look at the waste services review. I know you will say there's a joint scrutiny review into that, and there is. Thankfully, I managed to ensure that scrutiny did a joint review of that from both angles of waste services to provide a full review, which is something I've been saying for the last 2 years we needed, and we've not got. However, target EH18 does seem to preempt the scrutiny review. The target to be set post the scrutiny review, and the target suggests that you will carry out a communication campaign post the scrutiny review. How can you predetermine what scrutiny review is going to say in order to set a target based on what the scrutiny review says?
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Councillor Metcalfe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grosvenor, you report a significant reduction in rough sleepers to the point where none were found at the last rough count, sleeper count. Even if for whatever reason some rough sleepers are not being detected, it is likely this would have been the case in previous counts, so it does support a good reduction of the decrease. Of course, it's a fantastic achievement, which yourself, the officer team and staff can be justly proud of what has been achieved. However, some of this reduction could be attributed to the Everyone In programme, in itself a valuable programme. As this programme likely winds down, how confident are you, if indeed you are, that we won't quickly return to previous levels of rough sleeping?
I'm going to go to Councillor McKinnon. I will actually come to you, Councillor Grosvenor, in a second or two, but Councillor McKinnon.
Thank you. I just wanted to refer to EH29, proactively reducing the number of empty homes in the borough. The target is just produced two performance reports during the year. I would have thought it would be much better if you could put a specific number on it. I'm interesting because there are quite a few in my area in Shobnal. Indeed, there's one house I know about that's been, at the last count, 26 years empty. So I'm really interested in how long you take to get these homes back in use again, because they are an eyesore. And whilst they deteriorate, the neighbours are under a lot of distress.
Thank you, Councillor. Just before, I apologise to everyone, we did lose Councillor Metcalfe, so I'm going to ask him to just continue.
I thought I'd finished.
Okay, that's fair enough then. That's okay.
I was asking about the impact of losing the Everyone In programme. If you heard that, then I'd finished.
I heard it, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Metcalfe. I'll go in order. So, Councillor Walker first, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just following on from Councillor Metcalfe, how convinced are you that there was no rough sleepers in October, November 2020, I think the count's undertaken? And are you still convinced, or do you have that information that we don't have any rough sleepers now on the streets? Because the information we're getting back is that people are now starting to, shall we say, get back out there and are sleeping rough again.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Councillor Grosvenor's hand was up because Councillor Metcalfe made the remark to Councillor Grosvenor and not Councillor Faulkner. That's to just clear that one up. But I would just like to pass some comments on, as despite popular belief and those that have been echoed on social media recently, I am not the Cabinet support member for planning and regeneration, but I actually support Councillor Ray Faulkner with regard to environment and housing. And I would like to echo the commendations that he's made to all the staff across all the departments that fall under his portfolio. The sharing of the social media posts during the pandemic has been absolutely outstanding, and I know that residents and businesses have received additional support during this pandemic, and that's been down to the superb team work that's been going on during the pandemic. And on a personal note, I've also been dealing with a lot of residents and businesses that have come to me with help and support during this time. I know that working with Councillor Faulkner, we are partners with the Joint Waste Management Board, and this will move us forward with the waste review. And I was also a member of the cross-working party looking at the procurement of the new fleet of vehicles. And I think we are making steps ahead in making this waste review come to fruition. And although we may be in our third year, Councillor Grosvenor, we still have 26 months to go, and I still think that waste review is achievable. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor McGarry. Councillor Fleischhugs.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to echo a lot of the thanks that have been given tonight, particularly to the Revenue and Benefits team. My residents in Horninglow and Eton, and then obviously borough-wide, have been full of praise at how they've got their grants really quickly and in a timely way and an efficient way. So a big thank you to the Revenue and Benefits team, because I know it's work that's above and beyond what is normally on their plate. Also as well, the Everyone In, the Housing First project, the Navigator Service and the New Home For Me project have always been really, really successful. I'd like to congratulate you on those. As has been echoed though on a few different occasions tonight by different speakers, there is concern that when we come out of this, what happens then? Although there might have been a zero record of rough sleepers in November of this year. I spoke to Councillor John Anderson yesterday, who does his outreach for Burton Hope, and he tells me he knows the four rough sleepers at the moment. So could you please, Councillor Faulkner, commit to contacting Councillor Anderson and having a chat with him? Because what we all want, I'm sure, as councillors, is that we don't have anybody sleeping rough in our borough at all. So I would encourage you to please contact him, and he'll give you details of four rough sleepers that he's dealing with in his outreach programme. I would like to say, in terms of temporary accommodation, particularly for domestic abuse victims at the moment, I wonder if you could tell me how many people, roughly, just an approximate number, are in temporary accommodation at the moment, and how much that is costing the local authority. I don't expect you to give, you know, an absolute on-the-nail figure, but it would be helpful to know roughly how many people, particularly domestic abuse victims, are in temporary accommodation at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Florence-Jukes. Would anyone else like to ask a question of Councillor Faulkner? Can't see anyone, so Councillor Faulkner, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Maybe Councillor Grosvenor needs to check his arithmetic. There are actually 32 targets, not 31. And yes, the report is due in June, but it is going to be reported on during the year, and it is a target that we need to keep. The answer to Councillor Metcalfe in terms of what are we doing to follow this on, in terms of Everyone In, there is a service that is for emergency bed spaces that will be replacing this. The Minister actually wrote to us last week, and a letter of confirmation of funding for next year actually arrived today. And we will be actually modifying some of our projects, such as the Home For Me and the Next Steps, in terms of making sure that anyone who goes into emergency service, into emergency sleeping accommodation, will actually then move on up the scale to get supported accommodation and then permanent accommodation, whether it's supported or not. The funding is the same as last year, but whereas last year we had 9 homeless to actually take in, this year there are none, and I'll go back over that again for Councillor Walker and for Councillor Florence Jukes. This year there are none, and therefore all the monies that the Ministry is actually allowing us to spend, which doesn't come from the MTFS, will be used to actually ensure that any homeless person found will be off the streets within the timescales. In terms of empty homes...
Councillor Faulkner, can I just stop you there for a second? I can see Councillor Grosvenor is standing up, so I think he may have a point there of order.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just wondering if the Deputy Leader has a different report to me as a point of order. We should all be looking at the same report. If he looks at his report up to page 13, it actually says EH31, so there's actually 31 targets. So unless he's looking at a different report, I'd like clarification of where he gets the 32nd target from.
Okay, I'll allow that. That's fair enough, of course. Councillor Faulkner.
It appears that my maths are not as good as what I thought they were. There are 31, and I apologise for that, Councillor Grosvenor. Moving on, in terms of the empty homes project, there will be a report coming to LAG and LOAG this month, this week actually, which is actually identifying what's happening with that, Councillor McKeon, and it will identify quite clearly the steps we're taking and the impact it's going to have. So I hope you'll be happy with that. In terms of how convinced am I in relation to Councillor Walker and Councillor Florence Duke's questions, how convinced am I there are no rough sleepers? Well, in November 2020, as I did in November 2019, I actually went round with the count team, and I can assure people that they are extremely thorough in terms of their count. It was moderated, and we actually got the report from government in February that these have been accepted by the government as no rough sleepers. We do a sweep every 2 weeks, and ever since we had zero rough sleepers, that report has come in as zero. I actually reported a tent myself and this last weekend to our team, and within 2 hours they were out there checking it and found that there were two rough sleepers in there that were not from East Staffordshire but from South Derbyshire, and we actually made sure that those people were homed in South Derbyshire by the end of the day. Thank you for the comments in regards to Burton Hope. They are part of the Homeless Partnership, and they generally and normally actually report into Brett when they have this kind of information. And I have had no information as to whether Brett and Hope have actually told us that there are four rough sleepers. And unless they actually tell us, instead of just telling yourself, that is part of our remit, that we will actually assist them and make sure that they're taken care of. And I will ensure that this is actually taken up first thing in the morning, Councillor Forrest Jukes. You have my absolute word on that. In terms of the domestic abuse victims and how much we're spending on temporary accommodation at this moment in time, I don't have that to hand, but I will get you an answer tomorrow on that one, and I'll write it to you, if that's okay with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Okay, again, thank you for your questions on that. And of course, again, that report is to be noted. Move on to thank them as well. So the meeting is now closed. Thank you.